Go ahead and take your Bibles tonight, Revelation chapter 3. I love the words to that song, "Because He Lives." Excellent, excellent job. I appreciate the music tonight, the extra music we've had, and also the songs that Brother Sam chose for us to sing tonight. Hopefully you notice a little bit of a theme, and that is we tend to like to sing about the Lord around here. Of course, He is worthy, and He's wonderful, and so many of the words of the songs that we've sung tonight point to that. Revelation chapter 3, if you are following along with the teen devotionals, you know we're in the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation is so unique in so many different ways, but it requires a little more than maybe the book of Psalms would of us as we read it. There are points where maybe you find yourself scratching your head like, okay, is this like figurative or is this literally what's happening? And sometimes it may cause us to ask some questions, but those questions are good. And it's important that you and I understand the Bible as we read it. And there's a number of study helps that we can use along the way, but I hope that you haven't gotten frustrated and just gone somewhere else. Maybe that would be easier to read, but you are following along with us. We still have a good many chapters to go in the book of Revelation. But nonetheless, I want us to look at Revelation chapter 3 tonight and really talk about a theme that once we get to this point in the year, I think that many of us can understand. But before we get into that, notice the verses that we're going to look at this evening. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14 gives us an introduction here. It says, "And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith," and then he goes on and gives a little bit of a message here. Let me tell you what's going on here. There were seven specific churches that the Lord wanted to address at the beginning part of the book of Revelation. These were churches that were in existence and churches that were spread out over a large period. A large map. And so the Lord said, "John, I want you to write about these churches, and I have a message for each one of them." And so he writes these messages to these seven different churches, and the messages include different things. To some of the churches, he says, "Listen, you haven't done this right, but you have done this right, and, well, I'm proud of you for that." But when we get to this particular church, There is no commendation. There's only condemnation. Okay? The Lord is not patting this church on the back. He's rebuking them in a very strong way. And so that's the church of Laodicea. So let's see what he has to say here to them. He says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have not need of anything, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as also I overcame, and am set down with the Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." So as we look at this tonight, there is one word that just is glaring in my mind when we read about the Laodicean church. And it's a word that relates to, I think, sometimes our attitude that relates to this time of year. Some of you have told me throughout the last month, "Brother Scott, could you pray for me that I finish school strong? Could you pray for me for that?" You know, sometimes I think the reason is because we sort of have an idea of what we need to do in order to pass in maybe those classes that we struggle in. And maybe as where once we had a goal of, well, I want to get an A in that class. And as time has gone on, maybe that's drifted down to a B. And then maybe as time has gone on, we say, well, if I could just maybe get that C, I'll be happy. And then maybe once you come to the realization that, well, there's only a few weeks left, and I think that I can, you know, just be satisfied with where I'm at and grant that C. That word that we're talking about, that attitude approach, is the word of apathy. It's the idea of, well, I've come to a place now where I'm sort of comfortable at where I'm at, and I'm going to just kind of take my foot off the gas pedal a little bit and maybe just start coasting to the finish line. So tonight, I want us to look at this Laodicean church. I want us to think about this word apathy, but really, I want us to answer the question tonight of what does a lukewarm Christian look like? Because that's what the Laodicean church was. They were not on this end of the spectrum that said, hey, I want to serve Christ with all of my heart and life. I want to minister to people. I'm excited about the Lord. I have a fire that burns in me and a desire to learn of the Lord Jesus and to know and hear His word preached. I have a desire. They weren't there. But at the same time, they were at the other end, the opposite end of the spectrum, that where they had no care at all. They weren't at the opposite end where they just had given themselves to everything that was against Christ. No, they weren't in that place. They were in a place where they were comfortable. They were in a place of apathy. There's been different definitions given to apathy. I like this one here. It's a lack of feeling or emotion, a lack of interest or concern. You know, when we think about the word apathy, there's not too many, there's none that I know of where we would use apathy in a positive light. You know, I was thinking about this earlier today. You know, we think about the word junk, okay? Now, not too many ways that you can use that word in a positive way. You know, your mom walks in your room and says, "What's all this junk doing here?" You know. It's in a negative, you're like, oh, that's negative, okay. No, there's not too many ways that that's used in a positive light, except junk food. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, I like me some junk food. I do. Now, I mean, pull out the tray, load it up with them burgers and fries and chips. I'm a chip man. How many of you got some chip people in here tonight? Give me a good bag of... Yeah, I could tell you about chips, all right? It's not part of the message, but I'm a chip man. You know what that is, though? It's junk food. Okay, now it's that junk food, that sounds bad, but to me, music to my ears, okay? I like junk food. Apathy, you can't put it with anything. It's always bad. Nobody uses apathy in a positive way. And when we look at this concept of neither hot, neither cold, but lukewarm, I think it's the best word that describes the Laodicean church. So let's talk about what does a lukewarm Christian look like tonight. I thought this was interesting. In 1938 in the state of Washington, there was a mayor that was growing increasingly disturbed, frustrated at the lack of concern for the people of his town and their interest in the town itself. When it came to participating in voting for council members, committee members, just not a whole lot of thought went into it. So in order to prove his point, what he did was he decided to take a mule whose name was Curtis. And he decided to push a campaign for Curtis to be elected as a committee member in his town. And Curtis the Mule won. In fact, to further prove his point, when it came time for Curtis to sign the documents for the committee member, he dipped the mule's hoof in ink and then co-signed as a witness. I mean, again, he's proving a point, the lack of concern. There was an amount of apathy that was connected with that town. So often you and I can be right at this place of lukewarmness, just like the Laodicean church was. But I want you to notice, verse 14 here is really the key to everything that the Laodicean church struggled with. And I want to pick this verse apart piece by piece and hopefully answer the question tonight of what does a lukewarm Christian look like? Now, I want to remind you this evening that every word of God, every word that is in the Bible is important. But God did not waste any ink when He gave us the Word of God. There's not one word in the book that we hold in our hands that is unimportant. And so we're going to look at this thought tonight. Lord, would You channel our thinking this evening? Lord, I thank You for the participation we've had tonight. Lord, those who have lifted their voices and sung from their heart. Lord, You know who those people are. Lord, thank You for those who have ministered to us as we, Lord, sat in our seat this evening. And Lord, we're reminded of, Lord, some wonderful songs. Thank You for the effort they put into that. But Lord, as we move to this part of the service, we realize this is crucial. Lord, this is perhaps the most important part of our day. And Lord, we don't want to misstep. We don't want to miss an opportunity. And so, Lord, would You, with the power of Your Holy Spirit, would You open our understanding of maybe some ways that we've become a lukewarm, apathetic Christian? And Father, may we see Jesus, and Lord, how He is the complete opposite of someone who is apathetic. Give us a good rest of the service, we pray, in Your name. Amen. All right, would you notice the first way that we can see here the Laodicean church was struggling with this idea of being lukewarm Christianity? Notice the first thing here. We see a lack of sincerity. We see a lack of sincerity. Look at verse 14. Notice what the Bible says. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. Now, what is significant here about the word Amen? As you're looking at that, what do you see that is significant about this word? You'll have to look at your Bibles to see it, okay? Those of you who are like, I don't know. Okay, look at your Bibles. Yeah, Andrew, you have a thought? It's capitalized, and it's interesting. These saith the Amen, okay? So this is referring to, this isn't just like the word Amen. Okay, let's bow your head, close your eyes, we're done, Amen, let it be so. Okay, no, this is talking about a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. The word here means truly, or let it be said, let it be so. This was the true one that John is writing about here. And it refers to Christ and His unchangeable, true, fixed person. And the thing that I want us to understand here as John writes these words under the power of the Spirit, every word here is crafted and every word is showing who exactly the Laodiceans had become and who they needed to be like, which was the Amen, the true one, Jesus Christ Himself. I want you to see here that for Christians, apathy or lack of sincerity is hypocrisy because of the title that we have been given. When John talks about the Amen, he's pointing the lackluster, the lukewarm Christians at Laodicea, he's pointing them back to Christ. He's saying, listen, you are at a place of lukewarmness in your Christian life. You are so comfortable, you're not hot, you're not cold, and you're just sitting there not really doing a whole lot for the Lord. Let me take you back to the standard. Well, who is the standard? That's Jesus Christ. Okay, that is who we ought to mirror our lives by. And thus, the word Christian. It would be so strange tomorrow if you walked into the classroom at whatever school you attend and your teacher went up there and just sat there. Okay, that would be strange. You're like, Brother Scott, they do that now, okay? Yes, but maybe they don't even start to speak. And maybe when it comes time for them to teach, instead of teaching, they don't teach. They just sit there. You leave that class period and you say, okay, something weird going on in that class. Glad I'm in my next class. But the same thing happens. The teacher's up there, but they're not teaching. And maybe you say, well, maybe I need to get this thing started here. So maybe if I just ask them a question about the subject that we're supposed to be learning about, maybe that will kind of kick things off a little bit. And you do, but they don't answer you. Well, that would be a little strange, especially if this went on for an extended period of time or happened every other day you attended. Now, why would that be strange? Because a teacher is supposed to, what?
Teach.
It only makes sense, okay? It's the same idea if you and I, every other day of the week, look like Christ. Okay, so you see what John is saying here. He's saying, listen, the standard here is Christ. Let's take a moment and let's look at him, because you are Christians. And you have been and ought to be being changed into the image of who Christ is. And so he gives us that. And so we begin to look here at Christ, and we begin to look here at the true sincerity of who Christ is and the lack of sincerity in these Laodicean Christians. I wonder how sincerely we live our Christ-like life. I wonder how sincere we are about that. You know, I've seen some of you guys play basketball. I don't question some of your drive in relation to the sincerity you have on the court. Some of you are just all in. Some of you, it doesn't matter what sport you're playing. You are all in. I don't question your sincerity. Ladies, the same could be said for you. Some of you just throw yourself in the direction of any activity because you just love to be involved. Some of you may be more musically related to that, or maybe even academically. There's a sincerity to the way that you live out that particular life. But my question today is, how is our sincerity? Are we sincerely living according to the Christ life? Because the Laodiceans, on the sincerity scale, were struggling greatly. So what does it look like to live like Jesus? Well, open up the Gospels and start reading. You'll see a life of sacrifice, a life of dedication, a life of others, a life of a giving spirit, a life of kindness, and on and on and on it goes. I wonder how sincere we are. Laodicean church struggled, and they certainly had a lack of sincerity. We've only gotten one word in the verse 14 here, and already our attention is being directed toward Jesus Christ himself. So we see, what does a lukewarm Christian look like? Well, he struggles with being sincere on a consistent basis. Number two, would you notice this? That verse 14, we see a lack of trustworthiness. You say, what do you mean? Well, let's look at the next few words here. He says, these things saith the Amen, that's Jesus Christ. And now he's going to give us some descriptors here. What's he going to say? He's going to say he's the faithful and the true witness. I want you to see here that the Laodiceans were struggling with a lack of not just sincerity in the way they were living their Christian lives, but also in a lack of trustworthiness. Notice the two descriptors that are given here. Number one, he says faithful. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Now, how has the Lord Jesus been faithful to us? Well, really, he mirrors that of the faithfulness of the Father. And give me some things here about the faithfulness of the Lord, okay? So somebody communicate to me, how has the Lord been faithful to us as believers? Andrew? Okay, all right. He endured pain. He endured suffering. Yes? That's big. Yeah, he has not broken a promise. Uh-huh. Yeah, how huge is that? I mean, a human being hurts you bad enough, and you'll struggle to maintain fellowship. You'll struggle to not hold that grudge in your heart. Okay? How much more so for someone who knows every thought you've ever had? Wow. And that's the Lord. Boy, there's a level in which the Lord has been so faithful to us. Somebody else. I saw some other hands. Yes, Allison. Yeah, right. Gives us the opportunity to be victorious in every moment. Well, these are a great blessing to us. And I wonder on the flip side of that, as we look at Jesus and we see where he's at in relation to faithfulness, I wonder where we're at You know, faithfulness has a lot to do with consistency, doesn't it? Okay, let me ask that again. Some of you are like, okay, all right, look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Okay, look at your other neighbor. Okay, all right, are they awake?
No.
Okay, all right. Okay, so listen up. Faithfulness, I don't want you to miss this. Faithfulness has a lot to do with consistency. Okay, let me tell you what I mean, okay? Felicity likes to jump off the table and into my arms. She likes to do that. She's at the stage where she likes to do that. And so I have fun with it. That's something I have fun doing. I say, okay, Felicity, all right, you know, jump. And she gets all excited, you know. And at first she's like a little timid. And then finally she jumps and she wants to do it again. Okay. All right. Now let's just say that one time I just didn't catch her. Okay. Now, I know that's very sad. I tear comes to my eye just thinking about it. Okay. But let's say I didn't catch her. Now, do you think that she would be eager to jump in my direction? Okay. No, you better say no, because she's a smart baby. Okay. Let me tell you, smart. Just like her father. No, okay, all right. So, anyway, listen. You know what? It matters that I'm consistent. It matters that I'm consistent. And so, what I'm trying to say is this. We live our Christian lives in the direction of the Lord like we are holding our arms out and walking away sometimes. We live it inconsistently sometimes. And that attributes to our lukewarm nature. Bless you. You see what John's getting at? He says, listen, don't miss it. You want to fight lukewarmness in your life? Live out Christ. Be sincere. You want to fight lukewarmness in your life? Be consistent. You say, with what? Reading your Bible. Coming to church, fill in the blank. Consistency is important. But that's not the only thing he says. He says the faithful one, but then he says the true one. And this is where the trustworthiness comes into being here, because I'm not trustworthy if I'm, number one, not consistent, and number two, if I'm dishonest. Okay, Felicity's back on the table. I say, Felicity, jump to Daddy. I will catch you. She jumps to me, and I don't. Tear, that's sad. She would be smart to not do that again. Why? Because I've proven not only that I'm inconsistent, but that I'm not going to do the things that I have told her I'm going to do. Okay, let's go back to lukewarmness now. Okay, one way that we live our Christian lives is that we act like we're committed sometimes when we're really not. And then sometimes we make promises to the Lord or commitments that we don't do a good job of trying to keep. You know what that makes us? Just like the Laodicean church, untrustworthy. You say, how do you fix that? Well, let's be consistent. Okay? Let's keep the commitments we make to the Lord. Let's be honest in our doings. And we avoid complacency and apathy and lukewarmness in doing so. So we see a lack of sincerity here. What else does he say, though? These things I write, saith the Amen, that's Christ, the faithful, that's consistent, and true one, that's honest, the beginning of creation of God. Not only do we see that what does a lukewarm Christian look like, number one, we see a lack of sincerity from the Laodicean church. We see, number two, we see a lack of trustworthiness. But notice number three tonight, we see a lack of sacrifice. What a lack of sacrifice. What are you saying? What? What are you talking about here? Now look what he says. He says, faithful and true, and then I want us to lock in on that word, witness. The idea of a testimony. He's talking about Christ here again. His life testified of sacrifice. Apathetic people don't sacrifice well. Giving up someone, giving up something for someone else. I want you to notice a great description on this thought. Drop down to verse 17 because he goes into more detail of their condition. Look at verse 17. He says, because thou sayest, I'm rich and I increased with goods. What's John saying here? Okay, Laodicea was sort of an out of the way place that was known for its financial system and banking opportunities. They had become wealthy, and they had also become independent. In fact, there was a natural disaster that occurred, and I can't remember what it exactly was, but in 60 AD, the city was in dire need of help rebuilding. And the Laodiceans, instead of accepting help from the Roman government, refused it because they didn't want any ties and they could do it themselves. Okay? So we see a little window here into the independent mindset of the Laodiceans themselves. What does John say again? He says their condition here is that they say, hey, I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. I don't really have any need of nothing. Knowest thou not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? So what is John saying here? John is saying this. Look, we have the idea that when we are over here and we're cold and we're far away from God, we have the idea that's a really rough place to be. And it certainly is. But we have to change our mindset when we get into this mode where we don't care about our growth as much in Christ anymore. We've become comfortable. That is the place that the Laodiceans were, and that was the place that John was saying, look, you don't realize how destructive that attitude can be if it is left undealt with. These Christians were not known for their sacrifice. And so I wonder for us tonight, the lukewarm Christian struggles with sincerity on a daily basis. Struggles with the lack of trustworthiness, and then we see the lack of sacrifice here. And I wonder what our life looks like. Christ gives us a great testimony in that he witnesses or testifies of sacrifice. He sacrificed everything for one purpose, and that was to do the will of the Father. And I wonder how much we sacrifice. You know, I think that if there was a church, perhaps more like an area that we live in, I think it perhaps could be this church. You talk about financial stability. You talk about no need of anything. That is where you and I live. We live in that place. And that it can become a breeding ground for lukewarm Christianity. You and I don't think about where's my next meal going to come from? How am I going to have this opportunity? That we are surrounded with financial success and opportunity. It just goes abounds and goes beyond, and that's just where we are, and that's where they were. You can easily look at the person who doesn't have some of those things and understand why they cling to the Lord so much. And yet all the more we have to be understanding of how apathy can seep into our hearts and be destructive in the same way. A lack of sincerity, a lack of trust, a lack of sacrifice. The Laodicean church knew very little of sacrifice. Then I want you to notice this here, the following verses. Look at what he says. He says, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I want you to see number three, what does lukewarm Christianity look like? Well, there's a lack of Christ-likeness overall. And that's really what we've been talking about. And in one verse, John addresses the things that they ought to be focused on. Jesus Christ is the origin or source of creation. And that's what John says here. He says the beginning of the creation of God. Man was created by God and as such is to reflect the image of God through righteous living, which gives glory to the Creator. To be apathetic, get this, is to diminish the amount of glory that can be reflected back to God. Remember the first car that I had? It was a Pontiac G6. They don't make this car anymore. Sold it to my dad. He's still driving it. It was a pretty cool car. Would you call that a light blue? Colorblind. I need help. I love that car. It was my first car, and you know, whatever car you have, you'll love. I'm sure you'll learn to love it. One of the two. But after I bought that car, I noticed one of the issues that started to happen was I noticed when I was looking at the front, the two headlights, I noticed that one of the headlights was starting to cloud up a little bit. Have you ever had this, Brother Nathan, on a car with a Chase? Usually that means that somehow moisture has gotten into the headlamp. And you really can't do much about it. In fact, I ended up spending a good amount of money to replace the front unit there. But the point is this, is that it got to a point where one side was just shining brightly and brilliantly, and the other side had just become, the light had become displaced. It had become muted. It had become diminished. And so it was not effective. It needed to be replaced. It wasn't that the light was not working at all. It's the light, the fact that at one point the light shone brilliantly and brightly and had now been muted, been diminished. It needed to be replaced. And that's what apathy is. Apathy is a careless nature that can set in our academics. It can set into your musical life and the effort you put into practicing. But know that it can most certainly settle into your walk with the Lord. And even in a middle of May, like we are now in our schedule, we can be lukewarm. So tonight you say, Brother Scott, how do I fix that in my life? Well, put a focus on sincerity. Put a focus on commitment and honesty, fulfilling that which you've purposed in your spiritual life. Read the Bible. Spend time with the Lord. Okay. Reach out to others. Start meeting some of those goals that you have set. And then sacrifice some. Laodicean Church didn't know sacrifice. We need sacrifice. You say, what is that? Well, that may be giving some money in the offering. That may mean the Lord is going to ask you to give some of your time to help someone else. That may mean let the Holy Spirit fill in the blank. But you know what? When we sacrifice, we move and separate ourselves from an apathetic place. And then finally, realize that overall, the place that we want to be is Christ-likeness. Let's mirror fully the life of Christ so that we can truly reflect His image and glorify the Father. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. There are many, many lessons that we could draw from tonight, even from history, that have to do with an apathetic approach. Probably one of the biggest, in my estimation, is the SS Californian that was 5 miles away from the Titanic when it went down, saw the rockets and did nothing. You say, what is that? That's complacency. That's apathy. I wonder how many of you tonight would say, Brother Scott, given the, maybe it's the season, maybe it's the time of year, maybe it's another factor, but I know that when I look at Revelation chapter 3 tonight and I see the description of the Laodicean church, boy, I'd have to admit tonight, if I'm honest, that I've got some apathy in me. And I'm willing to admit that tonight by the uplifted hand. Anybody by the uplifted hand would say, Brother Scott, I see some apathy in me. There's many hands across the room. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that we would throw ourselves in the direction of you. Lord, you would help every single one of these teenagers, including myself, to be sincere, or trustworthy, sacrificing, and Christ-like ultimately. Oh God, help us to shine brightly in a world that, Lord, is going in the opposite direction of you. Lord, we ask that you'd work in our hearts. In the imitation time, we pray in your name. Amen. As the piano plays, if God's worked in your heart, the altar's open, feel free to use it. Let's do what God's asking us to do tonight. Don't allow apathy to win the day in your life. Don't be like the Laodicean church. He had nothing good to say about them. They weren't hot. They weren't cold. Boy, they were not at a good place. See yourself tonight as the Lord wants us to see Him, cold, naked, and in desperate need of Him. The world's not going to do you any favors. The world's in the palm of the hand of Satan himself. The world's going to pull at you, going to tempt you, do everything it can push you in the opposite direction of the Lord. Boy, we've got to be on fire. We've got to throw ourselves at Christ every day. Maintain our faithfulness to Him as He has to us. Up this way. Let's just be real, guys. Live out the Christ life every moment, every day.